Good evening, one and all, and welcome to this final Sunday night of the year. It's not the final night of the year, but it's the final Sunday night, and it's good to gather together, even though it's been a hectic weekend with Christmas and all the things we've been doing. Of course, all very necessary things, of course, you know. Anyway, it's been a good time. It is a good time of the year, time that I appreciate, and I think it's a key foundational thing in our Christian lives that we stop for a moment and think about the coming and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think it's important for us to stop and think about all the ramifications of that, and there are so many spiritual lessons for us to learn in the Word of God regarding the Lord's coming and the Christian life living for the Lord. I want to turn, please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. As we read some verses here concerning this event. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed of Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in this day, born this day in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 14, and the angels and heavenly hosts saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, for your direction and guidance in this message tonight. So much could be said. So much should be said. But yet, we don't have all of the time that we would need to think about all of these things. So, Lord, teach us the lessons that we need to learn tonight of this first event of the birth of Christ. Help us to see that prophecy was fulfilled in his coming the first time, and Lord, indeed to look forward to the prophecies and to the truth of the second coming and return of Jesus Christ for his own. Bless this meeting and this time together tonight. Help us and prepare us to look forward to another year of service and work. We thank you for what has been accomplished, and we look forward to the blessings of the coming year. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lessons from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are vital lessons. I think if people were to do an exam, and I'm thinking of lessons and learning, if people were to do an exam on the matters of the birth of Christ, I think that there would be some failures. Because a lot of people have some weird ideas about this event, or they've got some wrong wrong thoughts about this event, and therefore they don't enjoy the blessings of this event. This event was an event that was designed by God, the Creator of the heaven and earth, who sent his Son. And I like that rendition in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." So I'd like to think of some of the lessons that we learn from the people that make up this event. And these are the people of God. The people that we read about here are the people of God. Joseph and Mary. Before that, you have John and Elizabeth, and those events there concerning the Baptist preacher that is to herald the Christ Jesus message. And we have that as they come. We have the angels, we have Mary and Joseph, we have the Lord Jesus himself, the shepherds and the wise men. Well, these are characters that make up the drama of this great event. Now, it was a great event. It was an earth-shattering event. It was a world-changing event in this moment when Christ became man. This was not something that was done in a corner. This was something that was well known and well presented by the early believers and part of the gospel. All four of the gospels refer to the birth of the Lord Jesus. I said all four of them, amen, refer to the birth of Christ. Not all of the gospels have these events here with the people mentioned. And you've got Mark that jump starts the ministry of the Lord, the servant preaching the word. He's out there preaching the word, and he begins that way along in the beginning of the Lord's public ministry. But in Matthew, you have the birth event. In Mark, you've got that jump start with the servant of the Lord preaching the word. In Luke, you have the case notes of Dr. Luke as he records these matters of birth and the peoples are involved and the lives that are there. Typical doctor likes to keep case notes, and Dr. Luke does that. And then you've got John, who gives you the theological explanation of the birth of Christ and all the theology that is there. And Pastor Brent mentioned about the light of the gospel. But there is so much more packed into the book of John. So I think we need to learn lessons. The lessons tonight that we are going to think about are lessons from these people who were involved in these events and the way that they responded and the work that God did for them. I think we see the humility of these people. We see their obedience. We see their relationship with the Christ of God, and then we see the Saviour bringing forth the wonderful gospel and beginning the message and beginning the work of Christ here on earth. So there's a lot to think about in these events. Now, if you try and rub the event of the birth of Christ and associated matters from your mind or from your theology or from your biblical understanding and your church practice, if you try and wipe those out, you are actually working against God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And all of those wonderful and amazing prophecies that were fulfilled. This event is a window into the glory, a window that opens up to show us that we can see all the amazing things that God has done and his work here on earth. People say, well, I've never heard from God. Has God spoken? Amen. The word became flesh. People say, well, I've never had any gifts. The old Grinch that doesn't like Christmas. He's encouraged by the devil. This is say that nobody ever gave me a gift. Hello. The great gift of his Son. is a gift for every man. How we respond to that gift is so vital and important and will affect that whole life in the future. So we see these events that are recorded here, and this was an historical event. It is not only documented in the scriptures, but it's documented by Josephus, the historian. And then it is documented over and over again by the records and writings and artwork of the early church, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it was no accident. It was a plan of God. And there are so many things to learn in this event. You know, we see here an elderly couple to start with. Aren't you glad the old people are included? Pastor wants the preaching to end up with a bang tonight. So he chooses the oldest, one of the oldest blokes in the congregation who's about wiped out with the Christmas events, you know. But I'm in Team John, and John over there is going to orchestrate the bang. Amen? Notice Team John, we both wear the same tie. And Jeremy, it's all about the J's. Jeremy, I think, initiated that team, and I'm on that team. Hallelujah. Bit of youth around, you know. But so here we are at this event. Well, let us then come down to the Word of God and this beautiful event. We have it then with John and Elizabeth, and how they say to the Lord, well, we're old. This message is not going to be like a Bible study, as you've already discovered. It's more like a fruit salad or a porcupine, 100 points and a mule kick at the end. Maybe that's the bang pastor's talking about, I don't know. Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. God said they're going to have a baby. Amazing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Verse 37. And they discovered that God is a God of the impossible, a miracle-working God. So this old couple, usher in the introduction to these events, and God uses old people, amen, brother prophecy down there. God uses old people. He's young, of course, you know, but God uses old people. And here in this amazing event, God uses this godly couple, elderly though they were, to usher in the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was Mary and Joseph on the other extreme, a young couple just entering into their marriage estate, a young couple. And they are a young couple that get an amazing surprise. God has some surprises from time to time. But this was a miracle surprise that is not replicated in mankind, but it was here at this time to bring to birth the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we heard this morning and as we have heard on Christmas morning as well. So Mary and Joseph then, this amazing couple who are called of the Lord to carry out this amazing event, who are part of this event. Now, God never intended for us to worship Mary. Do not pray to Mary. Mary is only the vessel chosen, and she is not God, and she is not the mother of God. She is not the mother of God in the sense that she brought about the origins of God, as it were, as though she was of some theological value in that regard. That's another sermon or ten, but we won't go there. But yet we ought not to be worshipping her, but we should praise God for someone like this, that when they heard an unusual request of God, and the will of God was unusual and going to be difficult for her, yet she responded. And we see here the humility and obedience in this couple as they set out to do the will of God. And you know, isn't it amazing? There was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I'm glad that Mary responded positively to this decree of God. I'm glad that she did not get angry with government rulers and leaders that required for her to do something that was not easy and something that was unusual. To go down to that place, it's like going from Gawler across there to the bottom of the hills over there, Sudan or somewhere like that. You know, those little towns out there. I'm thinking of one, but I can't get the name of it. So she was to do this journey. And of course, she no doubt said to Joseph, "Well, I hope that you've got some good transportation organised, Joseph. There's some rough roads to go over and some mountains and hills to go over. I hope you've got some good transportation." And poor old Joseph says, "Well, I've got the best I can do. There's a donkey there. You're going to go 60 k's on a donkey. How many of you have done 10 k's on a donkey, 1 k on a donkey? This is not going to be an easy ride. This is going to be a rough ride. The will of God, and I think this is really the will of God, what we can learn about the will of God. The will of God sometimes is a bumpy road. I was saying to my wife, we've had our 49th anniversary the other day, wedding anniversary. I said, "Well, it hasn't always been a smooth. There's been a bump. It's been a bumpy ride from time to time. Hasn't been perhaps what we would do, how we would do it. But yet God has been there to lead and to guide even on the bumpy road." I'm glad that she had a good attitude when the leadership and the government asked her to do something and asked her husband to do something and go over there and register for taxation purposes. Oh dear, how many of you like registering for taxation purposes and so forth and for those kind of things? And this is what they were to do. A decree of Caesar Augustus. She didn't get angry with it and say, "Well, the angel told me I'm having a king baby. So I think you better go down and knock on Herod's door and get a room in the palace. Because this is a king baby being born, Joseph. This is not anything else but that. So I think we ought to have special treatment. You know, and get the transportation ready." Yeah, the donkey. In those times of bumpy trips and bumpy roads and difficult times, and then getting to him. And of course, she said to Joseph, "Well, I hope you've got, at least if we're going on a donkey and it's going to be a bumpy, I hope you've got some decent accommodation organised for when we get there." Isn't that human nature? Isn't that what the missus often says? "I hope you've got some decent accommodation organised for this little bit of a break. Where are we going?" And my wife never likes to go on a trip and not know where we're going to stay every night. But I'm a man of faith. I like to get there and see what's available. I'm like Joseph. "Well, Mary, I can't guarantee you a room at the Hilton. Or any officials, you know. We're going to go where God wants us to go." The will of God leads through difficult ways and unusual paths. And he sometimes does not put you in a mansion. He put them in the cattle shed, believe it or not. There was no room for them in the inn. What about your inn? Room for the Lord at your place? Room for the Lord in your heart? What about it? And here was a very unusual situation. They're going down there to a little town. They can't get accommodation in the inn. Everybody else is going there to register. And going to be a great reunion of all the old Bethlehemites and so on. They're going to have a great time there in that sense. But here they are then. But thank God they were listening to the voice of God. Thank God they were following the Lord. Thank God they were willing to just humbly accept the accommodations that were available. And that's what they did. Consider the character of this godly couple that are willing to accept that situation and go there. I wonder, have you considered the mission field? Young person, have you considered the mission field? My wife surrendered to the Lord to go to Africa and to live even in a grass hut with snakes falling off the ceiling and other creatures. She surrendered. And the next day she got a letter from me asking her if she would be my wife. That delivered her from the grass hut in Africa. But she was willing. She was willing. What about you, ladies? You ladies that are on the way to giving birth? Got your hospitalisation organised? Have you organised for the local barn? No, you haven't. Praise God for advances in medical science and so forth, and beautiful hospitals and the many blessings that God does bring. But some are not called to go that direction. Some of these missionaries still out in the fields, and some of the humble believers out there, or the native pastors and believers out there in Africa and other places that are suffering and are willing and are happy. Beloved, they're happy to be living in the grass hut or where God puts them. And I've met them over the years, different ones. And you know those pearly white teeth shining? I saw a picture of a dear brother. They said, "This is brother such and such. He loves the Lord." And I'm looking at the picture, and it was taken in front of a shaded wall, and all I could see was a set of pearly white teeth, you know. That this fella, willing to follow the Lord, willing to do God's will, and Mary and Joseph willing to do that and humbly accepting the will of God and not having a problem with governmental requirements that they were made of them. These days, governmental requirements that are made of us are really nothing. A touch and a drop are just hot air compared to what these ones went through and what some of the saints of God go through around the world at this time. We need to be very careful of that. We need to be very careful. They responded positively to that request to go to their city of origin and go down to Bethlehem and there to be in the middle of God's will. It's better to be in Bethlehem in the middle of God's will in a barn and so on, and in a humble little cottage. It's better to be there to be out of the will of God. Living it up down in New York, up in New York in some high-flown worldly place. It's better to be in a humble place. It's better to be humble before the Lord and walking with the Lord in fellowship with God, in the Spirit of God. And I believe that was so with this couple. You read her song that she wrote, the Magnificat, it's called by the theologians. And it's a song about rejoicing in God that she was able to do this, to do the will of God and carry to birth our Lord Jesus. And so Mary was a spiritual-minded person who was in the will of God and who accepted these humble accommodations and these lowly situations that she might bring the Saviour into this scene. What a blessing it was. And then, of course, consider the Saviour and the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these lessons that we're talking about tonight, we can take with us and should take with us into the new year. Take the name of Jesus with you. Jesus, Saviour. That means the cross of Calvary and the precious blood of the Lamb. Take the name Emmanuel, God with us. This is our Lord Jesus Christ who is with us and wants to be with us in every circumstance and situation that we may be confronted with. This is Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the Word, the living Word, the light of God, the truth, full of grace and truth, the Son of God and the love of God manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus. Take that name with you. I'm sure that when the angel announced the names of Jesus to Mary and Joseph, this gave them great comfort in the will of God to do the work of God. And you will find the same when you are in situations of difficulty. Call upon the name of the Lord and turn to the Lord in your times of need and difficulty. He's a great and wonderful Saviour. He's the firstborn Son of God, the Holy One, without sin, under salvation, able to go to Calvary's cross, able to bear our sins and deal with our sin problem and deal with us. He is the sent one, the Lord Jesus, the sent one on mission, the missionary, the ultimate and best missionary that ever was. They say Paul was a great missionary, but he's only a touch on the Lord Jesus, who was sent from heaven to earth to bring the wonderful gospel of the kingdom and to bring souls to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the mission of the Saviour, the servant of God, the crucified one, risen again and returning in supernatural glory. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And so Mary and Joseph were given great comfort in the names of our Lord Jesus. And so should we, as we think about the Lord in our difficulties and as we come to Him and walk with Him in life's way. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ then, that one that came from heaven. Think of those humble shepherds out there watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. A bunch of shepherds. I heard a message in Sydney once by an uptown city slicker. He said, I don't know that I would have been wanting to be a shepherd. I think those sheep are smelly. They stink. I think that the shepherds, they would have been a smelly lot. I wouldn't want to be around them. And I thought, no, that's typical, isn't it, of the city slicker, the uptown city slicker, the big-time mover and shaker. Thank God for these humble shepherds. And the testimony of shepherds is worth more than a high-paid lawyer, believe me. They're there and they know what they've seen and they were willing to talk about what they had seen. They saw the Saviour, they worshipped Him, they rejoiced in His birth, and they went back and couldn't help but tell everybody about the Saviour, what they had seen, these humble, again, humble men and obedient. Humility and obedience, the couple of key things in this event of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And then I like the testimony of these wise men. Look at chapter 2, and when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, we're not told how many they are. The hymn writer takes poetic license. You'll be aware of that hymn writers take poetic license, what we call. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we've travelled afar. Beloved, there was a large entourage with these kings. They were not just sitting on a donkey or something and getting along in a humble way. These were kings of the East. These were men of authority. These were educated people that had been advised by their scientists. They say that they were Iranian or they were Persians or something of that nature from that area of the world where they were very interested in the science of things, and they were doing the star watching and looking to see what was going on, because they had heard that there was a prophecy, that there's going to be an important new star that was going to guide them to a new king. And so it was that they were led that way, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." There's a great deal of prophecy built into this verse. The king will come in supernatural glory and establish his kingdom here on earth. But at this time, he comes as a babe in Bethlehem. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." How much worship have you done toward the Lord Jesus over this Christmas period? Oh, it's such a poor economy that, you know, it was very hard opening one gift. Oh, it was difficult opening one gift. I'm telling you what, the sticky tape that was used on these gifts, that would have cost them a bob or two, a few bucks just to do that, and all this wrapping paper and everything and all the rest. We are so blessed, are we not? We are so blessed. And these kings really show us the meaning of giving. You see, this giving, you know, people are miserable and they say, "Where's all this giving? It's commercialised, all this giving. Where does that come from? These commercials downtown, you know, the big multinationals wanting to rip our money off us." Hello, that's got nothing to do with this. The gift of God's Son was by the Father. God taught giving. God brought giving. And you see that these things of Christmas are very symbolic of what God did and are testimonials of God. All the lights that are around. Why the lights? The light of the world has come. The light of the world has been manifest. So the gifts. And these kings then brought gifts that were of three different types. They were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we're not told here. We are told that they were kings of the east, and that they had come, they'd seen his star, and they had come to worship him, and so forth, and they brought these beautiful gifts. The scholars tell us that these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that was given to the Lord when he was nearly about 2 years old, because it says they came to him in the house. When they came to Bethlehem to see the Lord, he was approximately around about 2 years old, and it says they came into the house with their gifts. Now, the Lord didn't always stay in the cattle shed, amen? Amen? And God may put us into insignificant and very poor circumstances for times of our lives. But it's amazing how he doesn't leave us there all the time, and he blesses us and provides for us in a beautiful and wonderful way. That's my testimony right there. But see, here they were then, the wise men who came and brought worship to the Lord. Now, this is what should be happening at this time of the year. Worship. So, all this worship business, all this Christmas stuff, it's all Catholic. It's got nothing to do with the Catholics. It's to do with the Lord and his coming and what the Bible tells us about the Lord and his coming. And these beautiful gifts that they brought for the Lord, the theologians and others tell us that these were the gifts that were used to support the Lord in his initial ministry. For he needed to be financed in getting the ministry off the ground. So there he was with his father there in Nazareth doing that carpentry work, being prepared in heart and life for the great ministry that was before him. And then when he set out in ministry, he set out by faith, not having a job, not having any wealthy supporters in the background, but setting out by faith to serve the living God and to bring the gospel of the kingdom. And so the Lord Jesus then was helped and supported by these men. The work of God, by the way, still does require support. It is a financial situation, to open the doors, to turn on the lights, to build the building, to put the carpets down, to keep our pastor supported and fed. What a blessing that is, to see the man of God taken care of properly. Some men of God are working for less than $10 an hour and struggling to survive in this scene to get the gospel out. And thank God for those sacrificial ones. But thank God for those born-again believers who get behind the work of God with their tithes and offerings and even their more expensive gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. We were told back at the Y2K when that was coming in, we were told by the pastor of the church we were in to take our gold, to go down and get all of our money out of the bank and get our gold bullion and put it under the bed and make sure that we had iron bars on the windows like they did. They extended the heights of their fences and they also had barrels of water brought in. They were ready for the Y2K when the whole commercial system was going to crash. False prophets should be stoned. Anyway, but that's what they were doing. We were also told to go out and buy at least a couple of 100 kilos of rice and have that at the ready for when the whole economy and everything at the Y2K at the turning of the century to 2000 when it crashed. Beloved, it didn't crash. Gold bullion, who's got it? Who's got gold bullion? Oh, it was so funny, really, when they were talking that way, and we knew that a lot of the dear folk lived from week to week. They lived from week to week. They had no gold bullion. But thank God for those that do have it and are willing to do what these wise men did in worship and love for the Lord, to put it at his feet and to give of their best for the Master. That's what Jesus requires. He doesn't require of you to bring gold, frankincense and myrrh next Sunday, but he does require of you to give of your best and to give yourselves. These men were given to God. They were already given to the Lord. And they were already worshippers of the Lord God. And when they came, they worshipped him. One of the things that's lacking in modern Christianity is the worship of the Lord Jesus. And in many places, the giving of the believers is so poor. So poor. And people resent the idea of a tithe. You know, there are a lot of ministers that resent the idea of a tithe. Heard of one minister, he said, well, I'll come and minister for you. He said to the leadership of a church, I'll come and minister for you, but I won't be, at that rate of salary, I won't be putting anything in the offering. And they said, what do you mean? He said, no, I couldn't afford to tithe on that income. And pretty soon the light came on. This is not the man for our church. Amen. He doesn't know how to give. He doesn't know how to tithe. I had a man that was talking about going into ministry, but he said, I couldn't live by faith like you do. He said, I'll have to keep my job. And aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus gave up his possibilities of being an income earner and was humbled and humbled himself even to the death of the cross? So these kings of the East, they heard of this one coming. They came and they bowed and they worshipped before the Lord and they gave of their best to the Master. Give of your best to the Master. This matter of giving, you know, should continue on. Don't say, well, I'm glad Christmas is over. Boy, we've got that over. Now let's move forward. Now, these events of Christmas, we need to take with us. We need to remember these wonderful things. And we need to continue in putting these things into practice. Of course, then there was Satan who was involved. He didn't like the first Christmas either. He didn't like the birth of Christ. So he stirred up the king. Go down and find out where this baby is, and if you can get hold of him, we'll finish him off. We don't want any competition for kingship around here. Say he's the king of the Jews, let's get rid of him. And we see that then an edict from the king that says let's get and kill all these ones that are born recently, because we don't want them coming and and vying for the throne. So it was that there was a battle, and the Lord gave Mary and Joseph wisdom to do another trip, and they went south down to join the believers that were down there in Egypt. So these things were things that you see in the lives of these ones as they move down in the will of God and as they respond to the will of God. And so the Lord Jesus then came among us, a humble one, willing to suffer and die on our behalf. Thank God for those that ushered his birth and were willing to worship and praise him in his coming and all that was done in that event. I want you to go for a moment, please, to John chapter 3 in verse number 16. Here is then the Christmas story in the book of John. The Christmas story. John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, the Lord Jesus, is the Word of God made flesh, the living Word, the speaking Word, the inspire of the written Word, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't it wonderful how God gave us the gift of his Son? This is the great gift of God for us that we can enjoy. So this is why at this time of the year there's so much giving of gifts, because God taught us the matter of giving gifts for his work and for his glory. He gave the gift of his Son. Of course, you know that Boxing Day is all about the Queen that introduced this, especially among those that were blessed in the old country, and that on the day after Christmas, that if there was an excess of gifts and food and so forth, remember they didn't have the refrigeration like we did and all, that they would box up all of the excess and that they would take it to the poor. The giving then of the early believers, Queen Victoria, the Christian queen, the born-again queen who promoted Christianity on the birth date of our Lord Jesus Christ and associated events. But it was God that sent his Son, God that initiated the Christmas scene, God that brought this wonderful Saviour to this earth scene, God that gave his only begotten Son. That's Calvary. The Lord Jesus died for us. This is all part and parcel of the message of Christmas, that Christ came to die, born to die upon Calvary. He was willing to give himself a sacrifice for our sin. This is the love of God manifest. Christmas is all about the love of God being manifest. It should be all about the believer manifesting the love of God to others as well and being involved in the program of God of giving the gospel and the gifts to others. How wonderful and how blessed that is to be involved in that. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to Bethlehem and went to the cross of Calvary to save souls. That was his ministry. That was what his life was all about, saving souls. Is that what your life is all about, saving souls? I thank God that medical science is committed to saving souls. I thank God that preachers around the world and faithful believers are committed to this ministry of soul winning, of going out with the gospel. The wonderful outcome of all this is he that believeth shall be saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the message of Christmas. You may be listening to me out there somewhere in the computer world or out there somewhere, and you may feel as though nobody ever gave you any gifts, that you don't have anything. Oh yes, the great gift of God's Son has been given for you. He came under His own. His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, a gift must be received. Oh, this is the wonderful thing about the Christmas scene. The Son of God coming, dying, and rising again from the dead, ascending to the Father, and the wonderful gospel, whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And we should be those that go into all the world with the gospel. The light of the world has come. The message of the gospel has come. Go ye and preach the gospel. Go with the message. What a wonderful thing it is then to think about what God has done. And I pray that during this year, this coming year, you will humble yourself, that you'll be like these ones of old and walk in the will of God, that you'll walk in humility, that you will walk in obedience, that you will rejoice in the interventions of God, that you'll go by faith believing that God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, that you will go with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Oh, what a wonderful time it is to think of what Christ has done and what He is doing now and what He shall do when He returns again for His church. We're looking forward to the rapture of the believer. We're not going to be around for the tribulation. Don't be wasting your money on preparing and doing tribber stuff, you know, whether they'll call that crew that get ready for the tribulation. Preppers. Don't get around being a prepper. We're not going down. We're flying. I'll fly away, dear brothers and sisters, and so will you if you love Christ. You'll be raptured from the scene to be forever with the Lord. What wonderful truth that is. And that's what we look forward to. But let us be those that rejoice in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and that relish in the love of God manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never trusted Christ as your Saviour, on this final Sunday of the year, would you not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? He truly did come, as the Bible says. He truly did die and rise again, as the Bible says. He is the supernatural Saviour of the world. And if you believe in Him, you will receive eternal life and you will become a son of God and you will live forever with Christ. How wonderful that is. So if you're out there and you're feeling miserable, you're feeling neglected and you're feeling as though life has nothing for you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto Him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Turn to the Lord. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are. Turn to the Lord that He might save you. And as a believer in Christ, let us follow the example of these wise men. Let us wisely yield our all to the Lord Jesus Christ and give our best gifts to the Master. Let's give ourselves fully unto the Lord, that He can take and use us and that He can make a difference through us. You think of the Lord Jesus, the one man that came, the missionary of God, the impact that He made upon the world. Friends, brothers and sisters, if you yield yourself to Christ, young men, if you yield yourself to Christ for the work of God and live by faith as the Saviour did and get the gospel out, God could use you amazingly to touch lives and to turn thousands of people to righteousness and truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no excuse, but there are great opportunities today around the world for the gospel. Make the most of those opportunities. Let's bow in a word of prayer. We pray, dear Father, that You would just do a work in hearts. There's anybody here tonight that hasn't yet yielded and received the Lord Jesus. They haven't yet knelt before the cross and accepted Christ His precious blood and forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that they would do that even tonight. And Lord, that you would move. I pray too, dear Lord, for those of us who are believers, that, Lord, we would respond to you as these wise men did. May we just bow where we are and worship and praise you. May we be willing and give of our best. And Lord, I pray too for those that need to yield themselves for the ministry and the work of God, that they would do so, that God could use them and that you could change lives and touch people through these ones. We thank you, Lord, for this Christmas time. Bless it, we pray, and do a work even now in Jesus' name. Amen.